Hey there, Face Off fans. We are talking about Face Off Battle Royale Season 13, Episode 3, Aztec Aliens. And we are extra excited because one of our favorite models, Nayeli Morales, is here. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
What up, Face-Off fans? Welcome to the AfterBuzz TV Face-Off After Show. We are talking about Face-Off Battle Royale Season 13, Episode 3, Aztec Aliens. I am your host, Elena Jordan, and I'm very excited because joining me, Nayeli Morales is here.
Hello. Yes, thank you so much for having me here. It's such an honor.
We're so excited to have you here because you've been one of our favorite models since all the way back season 6.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such an honor to be part of the show, and I've had so many great opportunities, and I love transformation, so what better show to be part of than Face Off?
And that. We've been trying to get you on this show for years, so we're excited, finally.
It's finally happening.
Finally, yes. For a show that's literally out of this world.
Literally.
Yeah. Aww. So this week, these guys are making some Aztec aliens. They walk in to the studio, and of course, Mackenzie looking amazing as always.
Always, always. And she's the shoes that she wears. I always tell her, I'm like, girl, you are a warrior.
Breathtaking.
Yes.
It's insane. She looks incredible.
She does. She does. And she has to stand so much during the show. You would be surprised. So
she's great. But yeah, so these guys, they grab some different parchments. They have these ancient scrolls that represent these different gods, these Aztec gods that some people say, because these Aztec people have been, they have this technology that seems way beyond their years, that it was gifted to them from aliens. So this challenge is kind of a spin on that, where they're going to create the alien that inspired the Aztec god. So they grab one of these parchments at random, and let's go ahead and just dive in, talk about some of these looks
okay,
as well.
Okay, sounds great, yeah.
So Derek gets told... You're going to have to bear with me on these names,
oh,
too.
Oh, it's okay.
I'm thinking it's Telok.
Telok, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, that's what I would say.
I'm just going to say the god of rain and lightning. Yes. So Derek wants to incorporate this jaguar exoskeleton, mm-hmm. But the actual reference photo has these kind of googly eyes that he just wants to stay away from, so he just takes those eyes out completely. But he's the only one who does this super intricate chess piece. The only thing is, he says he's worried that he doesn't know if it's enough for the judges to really notice all of the work that goes into it. This is a really good look. I feel like probably what kept him from winning this one, he battled Matt, and I feel like the reason he didn't take home the win is because the paint job was just a little too dark.
It seems like they
don't like dark paint jobs.
It really depends, because sometimes when you're looking at a makeup, it can look completely different in person than it does when you're actually having it on camera or even having it at a distance. So what the judges actually see might be something different than what you're even picking up on screen right now. So
that's
even
true.
Just what we can see off screen, obviously it does look very dark. You know, it's a little bit hard to pick up the differentiation, you know, of any different details that he might have, you know, because it was a great piece, but, you know, unfortunately a little bit of the details were kind of lost.
That's how I feel too. Yeah, I feel like if the lighting was just a little bit more intense on it so you could see all of those details, mm-hmm. I think that would have come across a little more. But because the face off stage, it seems it's just a little bit dark by nature.
It is a little bit dark by nature, yeah. And you only have so much time to play with like lighting and things like that, and you know, using some KY jelly to make it look shiny will only go so far. So.
Exactly, yeah. But the chess piece on this was absolutely incredible. And I definitely have to say props to him for creating such an intricate piece with so many aspects to it.
Oh, of course.
In such a small amount of time. So while this one didn't take home the victory in this first battle, it at least was not a bottom look. So,
yeah.
So it was a safe look if we were going by old season standards. They
yeah,
don't really
of
do
course.
Safe anymore. But that means that Matt was able to take home the victory for this one. Now, this was also a top look as well, which he was kind of worried because doing the elongated face is kind of a stereotypical alien mm-hmm. thing. But I feel like it's really the coloration on this one that saved it. How that was kind of what was Derek's demise on this one. I think it's what really made this one shine.
Yeah, definitely. You could even see the shine in the paint job itself. There's a lot of different colors going on from the blues and the purples, and it picks up really nicely. You know, whether the lighting is hitting on it or not, you can just see the pops, and you can really, and it accentuates a lot on the actor itself as well.
I absolutely love this, and the judges definitely agreed. Neville said that it was the whole character was striking and was bloody fantastic, which is just about all you can ask from Neville. Like, that's a pretty
Neville
good.
Neville is so sweet. He is such a good guy. I love Neville.
All the judges are so sweet. I feel like they try to make it seem like some of them are, you know, not that nice, but like Glenn, like they try to make it seem like he's this gruffy guy, but he's so nice. And he was saying like this one that the sculpture was just stunning on it, and the fact that it was this biomechanical element that was very well incorporated. And he said he wouldn't have even thought of
Of course. And you know what, as well, the wardrobe actually helps this character as well, because sometimes that can really be the make it or break it factor, because this artist will have a great idea for a concept and color scheme, you know, for their character, but then they get this wardrobe and it's not exactly what they had in mind. So you have so many different curveballs just hitting you.
That's what's interesting about this, too, is that it's so many elements that you have to consider, because it's the overall look, too, and then the overall silhouette, and the wardrobe is a big part of that, and that isn't really something that you can control as much.
No, you can't control it. Depending on the challenge, if you get to pick, you know, the wardrobe, or if you just request it afterwards.
Yeah, then it's also just what's available, too, so that can kind of limit a little bit. But after 13 seasons, I feel like they have a pretty good arsenal of...
Yeah.
Of costumes. I'm like, what's going to happen after this season? What's going to happen to all these costumes? Where are they going to go?
I don't know. Hopefully in my closet.
I know, right?
Right. One can wish.
Same, man. Same. So the second battle was between Damien and Graham. And I love that these guys are battling each other because they're really good friends. And so it's always fun to see kind of good friends go head to head and kind of make each other step up each other's game.
Oh, of course. Yeah, it's always fun, you know, to see friends be able to compete against each other but still have a good spirit about it.
Yeah. And this was a kind of a cool one for Damien, too, because he was a bottom look his season 7. For the Ancient Alien Challenge, which was the only challenge that V was brought in as a guest judge, and she didn't like it. So this was kind of his redemption, or his attempt at redemption for this one. And he definitely lived up to the challenge. They absolutely adored this. And this, too, man, talk about work. Glenn said it seemed like this was a partner challenge because this was so much work that he did in such a small amount of time.
Yeah, but I was exactly about to point that out. The amount of time that he had and how vibrant the colors came out, it's even more vibrant in person than what you're looking at. And the details, you know, to see everything of the white come in and, you know, accentuate the model as well. And the funny thing about this makeup that most people won't know, it took so long to remove afterwards.
Really?
It nearly took as long to remove as it did to apply, but it looked great and it held up on camera.
Makes sense, though, because you painted the back and everything. Like, all of the actor was covered.
They use this paint that we call it PAX paint. So it's paint that has glue in it. So if you have to go through an intense type of terrain, whether, you know, you're on location or you have to submerge yourself in water, that whole makeup would have held up perfectly fine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's a little inside tip.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
But also very intense for the models as well.
Yeah, of course, you know.
Now, this was cool, too. I kind of felt like the face looked a little bit like the alien in Men in Black that was inside of the face, you know?
I could see that. Yeah, that is true. That is true.
I liked it a lot, though. I loved this look. V said that the palette was beautifully done, and that was fantastic. And she said that it was colorful, fantastic, and all-around bitchin'.
Yep. Oh, V Neal and her bitchin'.
And her bitchin'.
She's bitchin'.
I love it. And I love that Damien was like, I'm proud to join the ranks of the fellow bitchin' makeup.
Yeah. You always want V Neal to say that about you or the character that you're representing.
Yes. That's, I mean, he definitely brought some sun to the sun god. So,
Donacha.
So this was a really, really cool look. Ended up taking the win for this one. So good job, Damien.
Good job, Damien.
Definitely you redeemed yourself for season 7's Alien Challenge because took home the big W. Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
Now, Graham, unfortunately, not only did not win this challenge, but he also ended up with a bottom look, which was surprising because he even said he thought that he won this one. He liked the way that it looked so much with the metallic and talking about how the light plays off of certain makeups. I'll say this one, I thought that it did look pretty fantastic with the light bouncing off of all those metallics.
You know, sometimes with the judges, you think after you think you recognize the pattern or what you notice off of different seasons, and you're like, yeah, I could be a judge. Like, I know this. I know how to critique this makeup or how to go with this wardrobe and everything like that. And you think, I know that that's a top look. And then that last hour, I'm telling you, because, you know, as models, you know, when we're on the bus, we talk about, like, who do you think is top? Who, you know, comfortable-wise, this and that. So once we get in that last hour, it can totally change. And even once we step foot, like I said, it can look a certain way to the eye, but once you're on camera and what they see, especially when they get up close, can totally change the last factor of the opinion of if it's going to push you over to winning or losing or being safe.
And this was one, too, that he was even noticing going into last looks how much work Damien had done. So he was like, okay, like, I'm kind of in trouble, but I'm just going to step it up and I'm going to keep going. I do agree with the judges that this one wasn't quite as organic, the transition from the vacuum-formed pieces into the actual makeup. It does look a little masky, a little headdressy instead mm-hmm. of an actual part of the anatomy. So I can see why they're saying that, but I don't know. I still liked it. I thought it fits was
in the
cool.
It fits in the realm, I feel.
I did too. I thought that it fit the world. They felt like it wasn't quite as, you know, as Neville said, he felt that it seemed a little clumsy. But I don't know. I thought it was cool. I can see why Damien took home the win on this one, but I'm surprised that this one was a bottom look, honestly.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty good. Battle number three, pit Kevin against Jordan. Kevin decided to kind of split his makeup into using the three stripes into the three faces, and we're sorry we don't have a photo for that one because unfortunately I got left off the sci-fi website this week, so we'll try to tweet one out later if we can find a good one. So, but I loved that Michael Westmore suggested that he add in some teeth to it to make this more badass, because his, the god, Taka Pako?
Your guess is as good as mine.
God of War and Conflict. He was a little conflicted on this, fittingly, because he ends up asking Kelly for advice. And he says he likes asking Kelly for advice because she just always shoots straight.
Straight shooter.
Yeah.
That's Kelly for you.
Great advice. I also love that she, you know, she tells him the truth where she's like, look, this isn't reading the way that you want it to. You're going to want to change it. Don't get hung up in the little details. And then gives him the encouragement, like, you got this.
Definitely. It's a lot of the show with the artists, it's very stressful on them. Having such short amount of time to come up with that concept and just, you know, being separated from their families and just having the nerves, you know, really rack up. There's been artists that literally have been like, no, I don't have anything. You know what? I should leave. And then they end up taking the win. And it's just, it's so inspirational. And just sometimes you are your own worst enemy.
I love, too, just the camaraderie on this show, too, that nobody, I mean, everyone's competing against each other, but it's not an angry competitive.
It's not supportive. Malicious at all. Like, you know, like, you may be doing your thing, but you're never like, I hope you lose.
Yeah, like, you're like, I hope I win, but I hope we all win.
Yeah, everyone just wants to win and just showcase their talents. And
that's one thing I like about this season, too, is that this week, we get a little bit of a break because there's no elimination. So we only have our hearts ripped out every other week.
Yes.
Instead of every week. So
sounds like life.
We'll take it. I know, right? So he ends up kind of having a little bit of issues, though, fitting the face. And so that takes up a lot of time. So he doesn't have quite as much time to paint. And he's going into last looks with not as much as he wanted done. Ultimately, V feels that the paint job was just wrong for this challenge, and that I think is what ended up costing him the win on this one. Not a bottom look, but just not a top look either.
No.
Jordan didn't get a top look, but he did get the win on this one. He also did kind of an elongated head, which was an interesting take on this one too, but he turned like the circles into membranes,
yes,
which was neat, and he wanted to just make these like black gnarly teeth that would look all creepy and scary. So he said even though he is not personally super into aliens, he was liking his shapes. It's gotta be weird sometimes too to have challenges for things that you're It's just not really your niche.
Oh my God. Those are the scariest ones sometimes. You know, when you have an artist who specializes in gore, but then throw a beauty challenge and it's like, yeah. Oh my God, what do I do? You know? So when you can find an artist that is well balanced and can do both, that's a real power move right there.
And now that this is season 13 and it's an all-star season and a battle challenge, it's like, whoo,
the pressure is on.
Pulling no punches at all. Mm-hmm. Now, Michael Westmore also gave him really good advice for this one, where he was like, you know, don't make it all obsidian unless you have tons and tons of highlights, for the same reason that I feel like, you know, Derek was kind of left out in the lurch a little bit. It's because the dark makeup doesn't read as well. So it's nice to have Michael Westmore pop in too and give his two cents and kind of remind everybody, hey, the way it looks in the lab is going to look a little different on stage. So don't forget.
Yeah, he's seen so many different makeups and has so much experience that he'll be able already to tell, you know what, this is going to pick up, like how you said, this way, or I'm seeing this. And you don't want to give room for confusion, you know, room for interpretation, but not confusion.
Exactly. Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. But Jordan, even though he said he was just glad that it wasn't an elimination challenge because he felt like he wasn't really doing his best, ends up pulling the win. So second win in a row for Jordan. So
congrats.
So a little less war and conflict for his God of War and conflict.
Yeah.
But Mel and Yvonne are pitted against each other this week with Chuchapili, which is the god of fertility. So Mel, man, bless her heart. I love Mel so much.
Mel is such a sweetheart.
She's so sweet. Yeah. And she loves to incorporate this aspect of the butterflies and the flowers. And everyone just starts complimenting her on her fish god. She's like, it's a butterfly.
Like I said, interpretation.
Ooh, that's got to be rough, though, when Damien's like, oh, I love your fish god. And she's like, it's a butterfly. It's not a fish.
Butterfly of the ocean?
Maybe? Yeah. It's like chicken of the sea, but...
Exactly.
Butterfly of the sea. Maybe.
Maybe.
Or fish of the sky.
Fish of the sky. I like that. That's very poetic.
Hey, we'll take it. We'll take it. Yeah. Mel made a very nice fish of the sky.
Fish of the sky.
Michael Westmore flat out. She's like, a couple people have been saying it looks like a fish. And he's like, oh, it doesn't look like a fish. It's a fish. Like, it's a fish. Just flat out. It's a fish.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
It's a fish.
But I love that he gives such good advice too, because he's like, look, the issue is because of the nose. You have this nose here that's making it look fish-like and you want it to be really pretty, but you're adding in all these wrinkles and all of these things that are kind of distracting from it. So then she's able to go in and really change this look and come up with something she likes better. Spends hours and hours painting it because she wants to pre-paint so that she can go into last looks without the stress, and then ends up saying that she feels it looks like a plucked chicken and just has to start all over with only an hour left.
Sometimes it's better to start over, because sometimes when you try to continue to keep adding on to save it, especially when you have already a specific color scheme in mind, when you keep applying layer after layer, it just becomes mucky and splotchy, and it is better for the character. It's scary for the models sometimes, you know, when we're about to scratch and start over in the last hour looks, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But you're in for the ride.
Well, that's kind of what happened to Jo when she was eliminated, was just because she added too many layers and ended up muddying up the work. So
yeah.
I think this was a good call on Mel's part, even though it is heart-wrenching to be like, that's 3.5 hours down the drain. But to start over and to pull out a look that looks so good.
Yeah. Well, that's what separates, you know, amazing artists. You know, they can do anything. I believe that Face Off will train you for anything. So if you can make it in this amount of time on this show, you can make it in life. You can make it anywhere.
You can do anything on any set.
You're just
ready, good to go.
Yep. It's like, here, you have no brush. Go apply makeup. Okay, no problem.
Yeah, they have the craziest challenges on here too. It's just insane what they're able to do. But she says that she feels like it looks 1,000 times better than it did when it was going into last looks. And ultimately, the judges agree. She was really nervous because she's the only one who hasn't won a battle yet. And now, she can't say that anymore because she won this one.
Woo-hoo! Dun, dun,
dun, dun. Yay! So Mel ends up winning this challenge. And I think it was a very well-earned win. I think it was really good. Yvonne, though, I actually really liked her. She wanted to do this kind of leaves, this crown, to have more of a little bit of an alien effect with the organic elements and then have the baby as a prop to
emphasize the fertility.
Yeah, kind of symbolize the fertility and what the god stands for. I liked it. I thought it was a good idea. Glenn felt like that the organic shape, though, was a, quote, huge misstep. Mm-hmm. Because I can see how it looks a little bit more fairy-like or more, like, tree nymph.
Yeah, it's very literal of, like, almost something tree-like-ish, even more of, like, a bush in a sense.
And if it's an alien, it seems like the alien wouldn't be something that's reflective of Earth's topography. It seems like it would be something that would be its own thing. So incorporating kind of Earth landmarks into it, I can see how they're saying it doesn't quite fit the challenge.
Sometimes they don't like it when it's too literal.
Yeah.
You know, it's really like, it's just too obvious. And they're like, you kind of just should have hinted at it.
But it's always so hit or miss because the makeup itself is beautifully painted, beautifully executed. It looks fantastic. I love it. But they just felt like it didn't hit the challenge as well as Mel's did, so.
Yeah, if you try to look at the characters, you know, which one would fit better in the realm that they're asking for.
Yeah, so, I mean, in a challenge like this, too, where it's just one against the other, and you're seeing battles, it's not against everybody.
Yeah.
Then it is kind of a close call scenario where you could have a beautiful makeup and still have it not technically win that challenge. It was not a bottom look, though. Still would be considered a safe look. Still a good one, so the judges still liked it. Kelly, unfortunately, had a bottom look, and you were her model,
too. Yes, I was.
Too.
It's okay. So, happens to the best of us.
But this was the Quetzalcoatl god, the feathered serpent creator god. That she, you know, they had this mohawk and the beak that was in the reference, but she didn't want to do feathers. She wanted to kind of not be too literal with it and kind of step away. Unfortunately, they felt like it was not quite as accurate a representation as it could have
been. Kelly goes to the beat of her own drum. I've worked with Kelly a lot in other seasons as well. You know, I've modeled for her. And she has a way of interpreting characters and has such a unique style that it's just even like how you said, she didn't want to go too literal. And even if that might have cost her it, she still was able to present her vision, which I always commend her for.
And I love that she has such intricate stories whenever she tells things. Like, she really connects with the character.
Oh, yeah, of course. That helps me out so much, too, because it helps me know who I have to be or how I have to be. Because, you know, there's always a backstory to everyone, you know, and it'll help me know my personality, my birthday. I have a horoscope, too, as a character. Do I have brothers or sisters? Or things along the lines of that will just help me bring her vision to life. And she's always really good at that as well.
If the artists don't give you that, do you just make it up yourself for the most
part? I usually just make it up myself. I'll try to pull it out of them, even if they don't. Even if it starts off with the first thing, like, what's my name? You know, you have to give me a name. I have to have an identity. And then once from there, you know, we lead off into different things. And even if they just at least give me a story, I'll create my own personality off of that.
I love that.
Yeah.
But I loved this story of just this badass warrior girl that you did look just epically badass. And she was saying how the eyes and the eye makeup just made it look even more fierce. I agree. I loved this. I want to go to this planet. I want to see more of these aliens. I thought this was really, really cool. So I was kind of surprised this was a bottom look. I thought this was one that I thought was painted really well. I thought it was bright colors and vibrant.
Yeah. Then again, you know how the judges say maybe it was not their cup of tea for this specific challenge.
Yeah. And Neville said it was a step backwards in quality and sophistication. And Glenn said that it just didn't fit because it didn't really have any feathers or anything. But, I mean, considering she had, like, her vacuum, she forgot to put the release on the clay, so she was worried it wouldn't even come out of the vacuum form, and she was able to pull all of this off. I thought she did a great job, and you definitely did a great job modeling it.
Thank you. I thought
it looked fantastic. So, still congratulations, Kelly. Maybe a bottom look this week, but whatever, you're still a champion.
Kudos.
And kudos to you.
Thank you so much. And it was very comfortable to wear. I do want to say that.
See, that's an important thing too, is like, I feel like that should be part of it. It's like, ask the model on a scale of 1 to 10, how much would you like to wear this on screen for extended periods of time?
Well, not only that, it's just sometimes people forget basic things, like, you know, you're a model might have to go to the restroom and it's like, oh shoot, I forgot to add that to the wardrobe. Whoopsie. Kind of, we're in last hour looks now, so we just got to make it work.
Or eat or drink or any sort of actual human function.
Yeah, you learn to appreciate basic human functions like breathing, eating, hearing, drinking water. It's amazing.
Now, Walter, though, he did hear some good feedback from the judges for his look, for his Quetzalcoatl God. He decided to do this full feathered mohawk with this reptilian aspect added in. This was really cool, too. He decided to keep it to a minimum. Michael Westmore even asked him about it, and he was like, you know, I've seen people win with less, so yes, I really so just want to do some minimal work, but make it really, really good. And Michael Westmore said that was right on, so he clearly was also right on the money. Walter feels like this was one of the coolest looks he's ever done, and I gotta say, beautiful. It looks legit.
It does. Sculpting and everything is amazing. You can just see everything.
It's perfect. I love this. I think this was absolutely fantastic. Seeing the scales that he did, that he said was that took a lot of time, but he felt was worth it, definitely agree, because this was just absolutely phenomenal work. The coloration on it's perfect. The sculpt is perfect.
You have to know where to sacrifice and when it will really count. And I feel he really nailed it on this. This is a really great look.
And because, you know, you have to look at the challenge, which is what of these aliens would inspire these people to think that they're gods, and what of them would they want to recreate in their drawing? So I feel like he did a phenomenal job with this one. So I'm not surprised at all that this one took the win. I was kind of surprised it wasn't a top look. Bottom look this week, we had Graham and Kelly at the bottom, Damien and Matt at the top. Damien taking that win, which also means that now, next week, he's going to get a little extra help from Mike McCash, who is a phenomenal makeup artist who's worked on Mad Max, Guardians 2, American Horror Story Hotel. He's won 3 Emmys. So next week will be interesting to have a little bit of extra help as well when they do their challenge, Haunted Hotel. They're going to be creating quirky and ghostly staff of a haunted hotel.
It's a really good one.
Are you on this one too?
I can't say. We have to wait and see.
I hope so, because I always love whenever you're on screen too. So
thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So while you're here too, first of all, congratulations to all the artists. Phenomenal episode.
Yes,
phenomenal
of course. Episode. Good job, artists. Yes.
But I know that you have been working with a lot of the models recently, too, on a new film. Can you talk about that at all?
Yeah, there's a wide range of us. We've been working on a movie called Quarantine Christmas. We've been shooting for about 14 days. We just finished the last day 2 days ago, and it's been going really well. It's a horror Christmas story. It's a horror Christmas mystery. We're hoping it's going to be rated PG-13, so we're going to have a wide audience, and it has a lot of drama. It shows a lot of us actors in non-prosthetic makeup, so you will be able to see our faces and see us talk.
I'm excited about that element more than anything, as I'm like, look, I see you guys pre-morph all the time, and I'm like, I just want to see, like, you act without all of this stuff too.
Of course. So it's such a good opportunity for all of us to have been able to come together and work on that. And it was so much fun shooting. It was like a second face-off home for us, honestly. So we're hoping them to be released around November. So keep your eyes out. And if there's any distributors that wants to help us, hey.
Holla at you, gal. And what else have you been up to? You've been busy, doing a whole bunch of stuff. I know you got...
Yeah. I've actually been working with Christopher from Lux Motion Company. We've been working on different designs and productions. We've actually got a really great opportunity to work with a lot of major actors and a lot of artists. And so I'm the locations manager to the Lux Motion House that's located in Burbank. And we've we've got a chance to work with like T.Y. Dolla $ign, Kid Ink, Shaggy. We've also done some shows for with VH1, like Love and Hip Hop. There's a new feature film that was just shot there like last week that will also be released next year called Rolling Thunder, which we had some people on there from the band Chicago, Joe Montegna from The Godfather. So it's just really been a blessing this year. So much stuff has come across my way and just really trying to make it or break it. And I've also been in development of trying to create a show that's going to showcase not only the artist, but the models itself and what we have to go through as creature actors and things like that. And that's another thing. Most people say models, and I want to get rid of that because we are actors. We are creature actors. Some of us have more speaking than others do, but we are still bringing something to life. So I want to be able to get a chance to showcase what we go through and show both sides. So that's the goal.
I love that, too, because we talk about on the show, and we have for different seasons, too, about how the model is really able, the creature actor is really able to bring the character to life in so many situations where, you know, we see the flat image of it and the morphs and everything, but when we actually see you guys on stage and your movements and your mannerisms, especially yours, because you just do these things, it just...
I'm so infamous for being on the show and being told, Nayeli, stop moving, because I'm always just like, every little extra inch will give you something, you know what I mean? And we have literally maybe 3 minutes, if we're lucky, to showcase this amazing makeup that's been put on us in the last 5 hours. So this is our time to shine. This is what we've worked for, especially like sometimes if it's a look that you don't like maybe feel the greatest in or the coolest in, you still got to do your best, you know, because you're part of a team, you're representing that. So it's just an amazing opportunity. And it's actually funny, we have this like inside joke of what we call it creature porn. So when we're getting ready to go into that act, you know, it's our moment of action that we do. So you know,
I love it. Love it. Do you have any favorite characters that you've done in seasons past?
Oh yeah, I always get asked this question, and some of my favorite characters that I can automatically already think off the top of my head, one was Darla Eden's doll challenge that we had to do. Yeah. That, because like I said, I'm all about transformation. That changed my bone structure so much that I was really unrecognizable. And then Don Mancini, you know, being the guest judge, I found out moments before I was going to go out. And I grew up with Chucky. So I was like, oh my God. I always give it my all. And I always try to do the best that I can do when I'm coming out and portraying my characters and bringing it to life. But that moment, I was like, I will breathe like this doll. I will eat like this doll. And especially when we're in front of the judges or the guests, I don't like to break character like at all. Because then it loses the fantasy-like thing. It's like Disneyland. You don't want to see them like relaxing and stuff. You got to be in character. So that's one of my favorite ones. Another favorite one was Emily's Fallen Angel that she did on season 11. Yes.
That was cool.
It was actually really ironic because I was personally going through some stuff at that time. So that challenge actually fit so perfectly as to how I was feeling. Aww. So when you see that, like, those are real tears like coming out on camera. And it was just a beautiful moment and experience that I had to be able to express myself as these characters. Sometimes I feel more comfortable behind the makeup and expressing a different personality of myself that I wouldn't usually get to do when I look like this. And what other one? Oh, Jasmine Ringo's, there was a gatekeeper challenge. Her color scheme was amazing. When she was first painting me, I'm not gonna lie, I was like, whoa, this is really like orange, but she pulled out this amazing color palette that I was like, how do you do that? And she did this thing where she put like 4 pair of eyelashes on me. Yeah, so she actually got a chance to put it like on my crease and regular like how I would, and it just really made it pop. And that's the thing that I really enjoy working with great makeup artists, because they do things that you would have never thought to have done to yourself. So really pushing that next beauty look or that next look. And I feel like Jasmine's really good at that, at having a good beauty and monster creature, being able to do both. She has a really good strong
she's a really good balance.
Has a really, really good balance. So that's just some of the characters that I've really enjoyed. When I got to do the finale at when I was on The Prey for with Nora's win. Oh man, that was so much fun. Anytime that I like not that I don't like to wear prosthetics, but if I have more free, like more of my face free, is very, it's more comfortable, but it's a different aspect of how I get to portray the character because you could see so much of me. And I remember that was the first time we had done the short films, and oh man, it was to this day, it's still the best day of my life. It was a 17-hour day. I had fake blood. By the end of the day, I didn't know what was real blood and fake blood, but hey, we made it. We won. So those are some of my favorite characters that I can just say right off the bat.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming and talking with us, too. It was so great having you here, and we would love to have you back at some point, too. So.
I would love to come back. I've been waiting to come on the show and get a chance to talk to you and say, like, my half, my 2 cents, and let you guys know some little secrets, some ins and outs, things that most people won't know or won't talk about. But I really appreciate the opportunity, and thank you so much for having me here, and I hope to come back soon.
And where can everybody find you in the meantime on all your social media?
Oh, yeah. So please, if you guys can follow me on Instagram, I am under The My Jelly. It's kind of funny, but it's T-H-E-M-Y-J-E-L-L-Y, like the jelly that I don't have, but it's there. And it's really funny. It kind of started off with these group of girls I was friends with. And when little kids can't say your name, they say it really funny. So they'll be like, Mayeli. So that's kind of what started off the game of like The My Jelly. And since I don't have too much jelly, I just thought it was funny. So please follow, and you know, when you follow my page, you'll be able to see my face and see a lot of good behind the scenes pictures and videos that I have of other Face Off seasons that have come out, or you know, are going, other episodes that will come out that I will release once the episode's out. So if you want to stay tuned to know about any cool creature acting or just me changing the world with art, please stay tuned.
Yeah, get ready for my jelly. I love it. And I'm Elena Jordan. You guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And you can find us here at AfterBuzz TV. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube. Be sure to rate, subscribe, comment. We love hearing from you guys. Shout out to Coop DeBill, too, for all of his comments as well. We love you guys. Keep writing in. We'll see you next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.